Sasqua is a podcast about Bigfoot. It's recorded for the skeptics, the believers, the knowers, and those who just have a casual interest in the subject. For more information, visit sasquatch.com. This is Sasquatch, a podcast about Bigfoot, and I'm your host. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined tonight by my pal, Mark Matsky.
Greetings.
And our special guest, co-host, Shannon LeGros.
Hello.
I should have had you do the intro, because you have the voice for it, whereas I'm usually stuttering over words. So.
Think so? No, I don't think so. You don't do any stuttering.
I think so. Anyway, this is a podcast about Bigfoot. Shannon, you may have heard of. She does a show called Sasquatch Chronicles. She's also a new contributor to Cryptomundo, one of the world famous crypto blogs, probably the only world famous crypto blog, run by Craig Woolheater. And we thought it would be fun to have Shannon on. Originally, the idea was to have Shannon on. We were going to do this very fancy interview. But then she was on another show just in the last couple days. And I was like, you know, I just can't do it. Because then she's just going to have to rehash half of what she said on that show. I didn't want you to have to do that. So,
yeah, we're not fancy.
Not that I would mind. You're not that fancy.
We are so far from fancy.
To differ. We are, I've met you guys. You are nothing but fancy.
Fancy.
Mark,
I don't have
Mark
my his, glass water bottle right now.
Where's my champagne?
It'd been funny. It would have been funny if at that taping we were all drinking water out of like wine glasses.
okay. Little do
anyway,
they know what it
welcome
is.
To Ohio.
Yes, welcome. We get a little crazier because of the weather. Don't mind us.
Yeah. Tonight, we are talking about, this episode is about the Appalachian Bigfoot. And this is a topic that was suggested by a listener. So we wanted to kind of get into sightings of Bigfoot along the Appalachian Mountain Range, which is one of the longest mountain ranges in the world, or in America at least. So before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit, just for a second, actually. Shannon, tell us about yourself and pimp your things.
Pimp some things, yes. Yeah. Pimping's good. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm from Vegas. I am quite a new transplant to Ohio. I've been here about a year. I've been interested in Bigfoot about 7 years. It has become a complete and utter total addiction in the last 2 years because a year prior to my coming to the lovely state of Ohio, I found out, you know, ahead of time. So the interest ramped up. And then when I got here, I decided to get on Facebook and connect with just about all the people I could. And, of course, I got to meet you guys and a whole lot of other people at the town hall meeting for finding Bigfoot. And now I'm on...
Controversial finding Bigfoot.
Oh, yes, very controversial. Love getting slammed for mixing with those fakes. Yes, poor people. Anyhow, so I'm on Sasquatch Chronicles, aka Bigfoot Hotspot Radio now. I've been a part of the show for a few months now, and it's going well. We're going to have a website coming out very soon, sasquatchchronicles.com, and yeah, it's going well. Staying very busy here in Ohio.
Yes, we are the home of the Buckeye Bigfoot, the Bigfoot that is seen, it seems, almost daily. And we'll probably get into that a little bit tonight because we're talking Appalachian Mountain Bigfoot, and later we're recording the White Bigfoot episode, and so there's plenty of stories to go around. Now, Mark, let's talk a little bit. I want you to read this. We're not going to be able to get into the whole thing, but do you have some like points from that thesis that you want to hit?
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely.
So
well,
before we
I'll
do that,
I'll just summarize. I don't think I'll read necessarily,
okay,
like,
great,
verbatim quotes from it.
Before we do that, let me just give a quick mention to Jill, because Jill Howe, H-A-U-G-H, I believe is how you spell her last name. Jill is someone who left me a Facebook comment or a YouTube comment or something, and She is an independent researcher from New Philadelphia, Ohio, and she wrote this thesis on the basically the Appalachian Bigfoot. And I thought it was awesome. Jill seems like a really knowledgeable researcher. She's doing, you know, a lot of interviews with citing witnesses and things, and you probably will not hear her name because she is not very involved in the community, and she kind of keeps out of things, and I like that about her. She told me at one point that what she likes to do is talk to the farmers and people living in the up in the hills who see these things, and to them it's just a natural part of life for them. And one of the coolest things that she told me about, and I think this might actually be mentioned at some point in the thesis, but an old farmer, after he died, had left her a whittled Bigfoot. It was literally, this guy had whittled a Bigfoot, and it was, I forget, she has some really, I'm going to let you get to this, Mark, because I'm just going to end up butchering it, but talk, at least mention the name, that name that she gave to these things.
Okay. Yeah, it, early on in the thesis, the point is made that there is a name that evidently in Appalachian culture has assigned to this creature, and it is the Hola Yela. H-O-L-A-Y-E-L-A, Hola Yela. Now, I had never heard that before reading this thesis, but evidently that is a name that's been assigned to it, and it functions as a kind of code word. And there's a anecdote that's told early in the thesis about some guys coming into a sporting goods store, and they're all decked out in new camo and fancy boots and stuff, and they ask the local proprietor, "You guys get any Bigfoot action around here?" And the guy says no, and they leave. And the author was there when this happened, and she asked him later, "Well, what was that all about?" And he said, "Well, they didn't ask if we had Hola Yela around here, did they?" And so it becomes, that gives you a window into the kind of culture that we're talking about here. It's an insular culture in the sense that the last thing that they want is for people to come into their area with their degrees and their fancy equipment and act like they know everything about everything. Yeah. And so there's these kind of cultural touchstones that they use to make sure that they're going to check you out and really see what you're made of before they let you in on anything that's happening, because they are very concerned with privacy, very much for the individual and the right of the individual to make decisions just about their lives. So they guard this information very closely because, you know, nobody wants to be ridiculed. They don't want somebody coming in from the city just, you know, throwing around their weight. And it does become an issue then also later on. She talks about the uneasy alliances that form when certain researchers come into their area and they're willing to pay out good money to spend time on your property and look for creatures, you know, in your fields or in your orchards. And some people take the money and allow that to happen, and others don't. And it really becomes a social matrix kind of thing. It's very, very intriguing.
Yeah, I'll try to get her permission to maybe at some point share this, because it is a really cool piece of work that she has done.
So cool. When did she write this, guys?
Good question. I'm like 100% sure she told me at some point when we were emailing back and forth, but I can't remember what she said. I feel like it was in the last 10 years, but I might be wrong.
Yeah. It was actually very recently. I was just looking at some dates in the document. She was to defend this thesis in March of 2013.
Okay.
So obviously she had worked on it for a while before that.
Yeah.
That really shows in the writing itself. And the other thing that's great about it is it's told from a very personal standpoint, where a lot of her introduction to the whole subject came by visiting her grandfather, who lived in extreme southern Ohio. And so she tells these stories about the large, you know, agricultural ditches that you see when you go out into rural areas, and how her grandfather would not let her go through those ditches at night. During the daytime, they were fair game. She could play down there. She found Prince down there with her cousin and all kinds of cool stuff. But at nighttime, if she was going to go to a neighboring farm to see people or just hang out, her grandfather would drive her from place to place because he was not going to let her travel through those ditches. Now, you could say, well, that's just kind of common sense. You could, you know, twist an ankle or, you know, just fall over down there in the water. But what she read into that and what her grandfather was pretty clear about is that this was because the Hola Yela was down there and this was known. And so that type of thing, that's that level of detail and the personal input into the story that you get in this writing. It's really extremely well done.
Has she had her own sighting then?
Did she talk about that in there?
No, unless not really.
Classified. I don't want to.
Okay. Yeah. She doesn't get into it, really. No.
Without permission, I really don't want to go into it.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping to have her on the show at some point. Because
that'd be awesome.
From talking to her, she opened my eyes to a lot of things that I thought was really cool. One of the things she had told me about was that the amount of sightings in Ohio of strange animals could be attributed to the fact that apparently because of the Erie Canal and the canal system that ran through Ohio, the Ohio was a gateway for exotic animals and shipping. So people were constantly bringing animals into the state, and it still is a home to a lot of exotic animals even today. But, you know, when you're talking about Black Panther sightings and that kind of thing, it could be attributed to that, or giant snakes, or even something like chimps, like people seeing chimpanzees and things
right.
like that. And I thought that was an awesome point because for some reason I had never thought
of
it.
All right, we admit it. This is a strange one. The search for Bigfoot has come to the mid-state. A Dauphin County man says he's captured images of something strange near the Appalachian Trail. Kendra Nichols has the story.
It's weird. I mean, it really is weird.
This is video shot from a Dauphin County man's flip cam. He says he was hiking the Appalachian Trail with his wife back in October when he came across what looked like a fort. What happened next is when he says things got weird.
You can actually hear it go, huh, huh. I mean, deep in the lungs. I panicked. They were loud and they freaked me out, to be honest with you.
He says as the camera rolled, he yelled for his wife.
Is that you?
You know, I told her, I said, we have to get out of here. There's something up in these woods.
It wasn't until he got home and watched the video that he saw this image.
Here's this thing standing in the middle of the trail. And the wife said, what is that?
Shannon, did you get to do any research on the Appalachian stuff?
Yes. And, you know, not all the stories are fleeting glimpses from like 200 yards away. In fact, the Bennington Triangle is around the Appalachian area. It's in southwestern Vermont. And what are the years? Between 1920 and 1950, up to 10 people went missing in that area alone. You know, whether or not these were cases from Dave Pilotti's book, I didn't do the corroborating evidence there, but these are documented cases. And there's even a tour group out there that does like lantern Bigfoot tours, and there's even a golf course. And actually, I think that's also in Vermont that, you know, their logo is a Bigfoot. I mean, a ton of people end up seeing this creature out there, and it's just part of their lives. It sounds like very normal, although the missing people stuff isn't exactly a pleasant thing, you know.
Yeah. Was there some sort of like crossover between that, the missing people and the Bigfoot? Were they like in areas where they had seen Bigfoot, or?
And well, yeah, and actually, now that I'm looking at my notes, it does say some of them did end up in the missing 401. I don't have the names, but the Indians even have the lore of the stone giant from that area.
Right, right.
And it's the Algonquins and the Iroquois Indians that believed in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that spread into Ohio, too. And Ohio fits into the Appalachian stuff because it's the foothills of the Appalachians.
So. Right.
Yeah. You said Bennington, and I know I have a report from Bennington somewhere that I wrote down, but I have a bunch of reports starting all the way back in January of 85 from Maine. J.W. McHenry chopping wood, heard loud screams coming from a wooded area near his home. Upon looking up, he saw a... This is bizarre. This is an 18-inch, an 18-inch creature with black hair. He is said to have captured it and kept it.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this might be an account of the smallest Bigfoot on record.
Aww, in a jar somewhere.
I know. He's adorable.
Aww.
Bigelow Mountain, 1946. Four dozers were startled when they stopped along a trail to eat lunch and instead saw an enormous man walking toward them in the distance that was well over 10 feet tall. He had long hair like Indians in movies and was covered in short black hair over the rest of his body. He carried what looked like a big rock. They left the area immediately.
So, good idea.
Yeah, this Bigelow Mountain seems to be a hot
spot.
What
year was that from?
That was 46, and then I have another one from 49 in the same place, Bigelow Mountain. It's apparently 150 miles northwest of Augusta. A man named Byrne White saw a 7-foot creature standing on the side of the road at 1 a.m. Another person reported seeing the same creature at an earlier date. And for those who don't know, the AT, the Appalachian Trail, runs it either, depending on where you start, if you start in the south or the north, it either starts or stops at Katahdin Mountain, Mount Katahdin.
I wasn't wondering how you said that.
I'm not sure on that, so no one quote me.
Probably better than what I was going to. I was going to tell a story from there, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm going to butcher that one up.
On Sasquatch, that is how it will be pronounced from now on. Exactly what Seth said. So
yes.
Don't email us with the correct pronunciation.
Seth started it.
I have a bunch of these. These ones from Maine are all in the Katahdin area.
Yeah.
Did you pull these off? Did you pull some off of Bigfoot Encounters? Because that's where I got a bunch of mine.
That's exactly where I got. Yeah.
I'll let you do some of those. I'm not going to steal them from you.
Well, I mean, technically it's your show, Seth, so I'm stealing it from you.
No one wants this to be my show.
Yeah, I'm here with you guys, not the other way around. Did you see the one from 1988 from Katahdin Mountain?
Excellent.
A group of Boy Scouts and six campers saw a reddish creature up a trail that led to the top of the mountain. They said it was digging for something. It happened to smell like rotten eggs and was making very ominous sounds.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, that was Katahdin. And unfortunately, a trapper in that area, no year on this one. This is quite terrible, actually. He was found ripped apart, and they said that the body had been beaten against a tree trunk. Not a nice way to end the day trapping.
I think that actually could have been attributed to Jason. From the World Famous Friday.
Yeah. Wasn't there a Katahdin episode at some point?
Jason takes Katahdin. Mark, what do you got?
Well, I've got a bunch of West Virginia stuff that I was really amazed by because I just never had looked into that before. And a lot of this is around Pendleton County in Seneca Rocks National Recreation Area.
My parents are big fans of that place. They've gone hiking there.
Yeah. Now having read about it and seen pictures of it, I can see why. Because it's really super rugged and mountainous, and yet it's like 200 miles south of Pittsburgh and straight west of Washington, D.C., but it just looks like you're out on the West Coast. It's unbelievable. But there was like this miniature flap that took place in 2007 where at least four people had what you would call Class A sightings, and some of them are rather bizarre. One involves a man who was driving his truck, and he's pulling a U-Haul as he was driving, and he came around a bend, and this is in January 2007. He saw a creature. At first he thought it was a man in a special forces outfit, and which that's an interesting association to make. And he's not
18 inches tall.
No, he's a lot bigger than that, actually.
He's escaped.
Yeah. Yeah. He grew out of his jar.
He grew out of it. That's the only way to get out.
Right. Yeah. So that would explain then. I love this phrase. He was not running. He had a swaggering lope. Now, that's just poetic. Swaggering lope. He was 20 feet away at the closest point as he's driving along, and it sort of went off into the brush. He turned around, and this is sort of atypical of these type of reports, because this guy got out of his truck and took out his mag light and shined it into the woods where he saw the creature go in. And this is where it gets really interesting. He heard first, like, foot stomping. Like, if you are in close proximity to a deer, if you've ever seen them stomp as you get closer, it's sort of their, defense. That's the kind of sound that he heard, except extremely heavy. And then the creature started to make a laughing slash squealing noise and a grunting noise and started pounding wood together. And this evidently lasted for about 3 to 5 minutes. And then it got quiet. It just got silent. And that's the point at which he decided to get back in his truck and go. But, when a researcher talked to him later on, he described it as very tall, black and gray hair, and almost like dreadlocks, like matted hair, long and matted. So that was really kind of interesting. And that kicked off then. Later that summer, there were 3 sightings that happened really close together, and the other one on June 18th, 2007. It was a mother and a daughter. They were going trout fishing and camping. They were driving around at 1 a.m., and they got to the very top of the mountain on U.S. 33, and they saw 2 furry-looking creatures right in the middle of the road, and when the high beams hit them, they dove into the bush. And in the report, she was very insistent that they didn't run off the side of the road, but they dove head first, like they're jumping into a pool or something, into the bushes. And that they were lanky, upright, long arms. The word she kept returning to in the report is that they were ape-like. And she worked for the Maryland Forest Service, the mom did. So she had a lot of experience observing things out in the forest, and was adamant that she had never seen anything like that before. And then you have, a few other road crossing type reports, in 2 of them in July of 07. So that Seneca Rocks area, it sounds really interesting, for a number of reasons, and one of which is the terrain really seems to be supportive of some type of, or many types of mystery creatures.
Resurfacing in a western North Carolina town, a man in Cleveland County says he saw the mythic beast just last week.
And as Ann Sheridan reports, this isn't the first time a sighting's been reported here.
I tried to call him.
Tim Peeler thought he was calling coyotes.
Instead of them, him.
He got something that frightened even the self-proclaimed mountain man.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
It scared me.
Sergeant Mark Self, as a Cleveland County deputy, didn't see the creature this time.
There was a 8 to 10 foot hairy man looking person.
But remembers the stories of a Sasquatch when he was a kid.
Was killing some animals, breaking in chicken houses, killing chickens.
It's the same M.O. that Tim says he saw for himself, the Sasquatch going after his dogs.
I come out here and rough talked him and run him off.
Got him to leave, called 911, then the creature came back.
And I said, get away from here. Get. And he went right back out that path again.
Deputies filed a suspicious person report, and Tim is still recalling the details.
Yeah. This is kind of cool. So I'm doing my research. I thought it would be fun to try to scour the hiking forums for, some sort of hiker's account of something odd happening. And I did come up with something. And it's not a Class A sighting, but I think it's kind of cool. So it was a lady on a forum called, let me think, it was White Blaze, I think, White Blazes, something like that. Her name was Icy T, so
I used to listen to her.
She's already credible.
Shout out to you, Icy T.
We
I feel like as I'm reading this report, I'm going to have to play some iced tea in the background.
You have to.
Okay, here
I
we go.
I can beatbox if you want.
Please don't. Please.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. We were hiking the Appalachian Trail in southeast PA with our dog one late autumn afternoon. We got to a certain point that had an open area that was used by the Boy Scouts and walked a little beyond it to a little higher spot on the side of the mountain. We've heard of ghost sightings near there, and there was a serial murderer who lived nearby about 200 years ago. Anyway, from on our right, ahead of us, we heard a whoomp. I would say it sounded something like somebody dropping a heavy object on the ground, or maybe closing a car trunk. No cars up there, of course. Our dog got nervous and started to pull to go back, and my brother and I both had an uneasy feeling, so we turned and headed back down the trail. We heard some brush moving off to the side above us, so we kept going at a fast walk, now more uneasy. We stooped and heard the same whoomp. This time ahead of us, but still above us on the mountain, not really close, but not far either. Whatever it was paralleling us and moving faster than we were. To me, that sounds like two. But we got to the fork in the trail and headed down the mountain looking over our shoulders the whole time. What was it? I don't know. So one of the reasons I find that interesting, and Mark will know where I'm going with this, the only thing Bigfooty that I've ever had happen to me was at a metro park near where I live, actually called... River Styx, and River Styx is home to the River Styx monster. And this past winter, while standing on a hill completely alone in this park, it sounded like someone took a boulder and smashed it on the ground 30 feet from where I was standing. I mean, I felt it as much as I heard it. And it's the only thing unexplainable that I've ever had happen to me, where I literally cannot explain what it could have been. So I thought it was cool because there were parallels there with myself. And before we go on, I really quickly want to mention for anyone who is wondering, states in the Americas that the Appalachian Trail or the Appalachian Mountains run through, from the north, Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, New York, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, New Jersey, North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama. If you look on a map of sighting reports in Ohio, or not in Ohio, in the U.S., on the East Coast, they follow that mountain range. Look for where the most red dots are. There's one map in particular, sighting map that I'm thinking of, and I'm not sure where it came from, but there's one map in particular where you can really see it. And obviously, I'm not saying that, you know, they specifically followed that, but I think it's interesting.
I think it's excursion time, guys. Ready to walk the trail? The entire thing. We're gone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, going out right now and hiking it, we should be back sometime next July.
Yeah, or maybe the following July even. It would be a nightmare.
If we make it back.
Yeah. There's always three trunks we can do against. So.
Shannon, anything else? Any more sightings you want to talk about?
No, you know what? That was one of the more exciting reports that I found. But I did see that in Whitehall, New York, which is part of the Appalachian Trail, that they actually passed in 2003 an ordinance to protect the Bigfoot creature. Mm-hmm. So it's much like Skamania County, you know, they have their, well, we don't know it's out there for sure, but we're going to protect it just in case. So there's a couple of people right now that haven't gotten that memo that it might be murder. I'm sure you guys have been keeping up with that. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, Alan and Jesse had their incident that actually got them into Bigfooting in Whitehall.
Yes.
The mountains in Whitehall. So that's kind of
awesome.
A cool parallel there.
Yeah, it is.
So I feel like eventually we're going to have to come back to this subject because it's just hitting me. We pretty much only hit northern states.
Yeah.
We really only talked about PA and Maine. We didn't get into like Georgia and Alabama and North Carolina because those are all Tennessee. Tennessee has some crazy Bigfoot reports within, you know, the Appalachian mountain range.
Yeah, and are they pretty grumpy there? Like,
they're really grumpy.
They're pretty grumpy, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seth, do you remember at the Ohio Bigfoot conference this past year, Charlie Raymond had that therm footage that was taken in Tennessee? It was... allegedly two juvenile Sasquatch who knew that they had been spotted, and so they were crawling army style across the forest floor. It was really amazing, and he was there, evidently. It was obtained by Nathan Gehrman, I think it is, in October 2010. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really interesting because he kind of narrates. I'm not sure if it's released, really, because I know he showed it at the conference.
Right.
But then I think a number of his Kentucky crew were with him, but they obtained the footage in Tennessee. It's really interesting. The thing about it is there's really no other animal that it seems like would act that way, mm-hmm. almost embarrassed to be caught. Because mm-hmm. the point that he made when he was interpreting the footage is if this was a bear, it would run away.
Right.
You know, if this was a coyote, it would run away. But this is staying in the area but trying to conceal itself.
My problem with it was I thought it almost, to me, looked like something way smaller than what you would think of. I mean, I thought it could have been possum-sized. I really didn't think it was as big as he was saying. So that was my problem with it. But it was interesting because at one point you saw what basically looked like an arm. I mean, like, and straight out bend. I mean, you could basically see an elbow bend. But I still just, it was impossible from the video, to me anyway, to tell how big it was.
Yeah.
That was my problem.
Yeah, there's no scale, really, that you can compare it to.
Yeah.
So, real quick, before we wrap this up, I did want to mention, you said, Shannon, about people missing in Maine. There was mm-hmm. a hiker that went missing there that, do you guys know who Bill Brock is?
Yeah.
Okay, apparently he was up there searching for this hiker, and he believed it was Bigfoot-related,
really?
Which I'm not on board the Bigfoot as kidnapper train, but I think it's interesting, and I think there are some correlations there. So, but I thought it was an interesting story, and I will probably insert some of the video that's online.
So right here is the area where Master Man Guy Bill found what is a sports bra, and it's all torn up and shredded, like it may have gotten torn off of her. We're not sure what really happened. We know that we found a sports bra and a small bag, like a Ziploc. So what we're going to do is we're going to call the warden service and have them come up and help us out, hopefully. Right now, Bill and Ginger are down here searching another debris pile. Where Bill is another pretty large debris pile, and he's going to go down and into pull the that show thing afterward. All apart.
Is it something new that he's come up with that he decided he's going to look into? Or
I think this was back in... He already did. This is from October 22nd. This is actually a year ago. October 22nd, 2013. Professional Bigfoot hunter searches for Largay on Appalachian Trail. Trio releases video of them finding a sports bra near Karabasset River that they believe may belong to the 66-year-old Tennessee woman who has been missing since July. But the Maine Warden Service said there was likely no connection. Hmm. So he was literally making the connection to Bigfoot having kidnapped this lady. So,
well, yeah, I surely hope that that's not what they're doing. If they're out there, mm-hmm. they can behave better than that.
Yeah, you need to have a talk with them, really.
Yeah.
She's from Tennessee. Maybe the Tennessee Bigfoots followed her up to Maine.
Could be. They're grumpy down there. I'm telling you, those southern Bigfoot.
It's that Boggy Creek Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's that extra humidity. It just pisses everybody off.
All right, let's wrap this up. Mark, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I think Kentucky, we need to zero in on them in a show of their own because they have the best names for Bigfoot out of anyone. I mean... Mr. Howdy? How can you beat Mr. Howdy as a name for Bigfoot? So that deserves its own thing, I think.
It surely does.
All right. Shannon, last thoughts?
I'm just happy to be here, guys. Honest to God.
All right. Okay, and that wraps it up. Join the conversation at facebook.com/sasswhat. Find us on Twitter by using the hashtag sasswhat, or you can find me on Twitter at Seth Breeds Love. Mark Matsky is on Twitter at Reverend Matsky. Send your letters to sasswhatmail.com. bigfootshow@gmail.com and leave us a rating and review on iTunes.